There's a fly in my house yesterday. Yeah, not in my soup. It was in my house. It was flying around. I have this thing about killing flies. I don't like to. These little things, they don't live very long. So they're flying around my house. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, what is it doing so horribly wrong? It got inside my house somehow, and it's flying around. Why would I kill it? I can't eat it. I mean, so what's the point of killing it? So I trap flies. I try to trap them. I kind of make them fall to the ground, but I don't hurt them. And then I pick them up, or I cup them. I get a little paper cup, and I get a piece of paper and slide underneath, and I trap them. And then I let them go free. And when I do, I feel, ooh, I feel good. It's a feeling that is unlike any other. Taking a little fly, a little life, a short little fly life, and releasing it back as opposed to swatting it and smashing its brains out. It makes me feel good, and that's why I'm a good person. It's about the only reason.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I'm such a good person.
Whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Okay.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Pleasure to have you here. I will be your captain. Sit back, just take it easy. Okay, I'm gonna say this, and then I won't do this anymore for today or probably for a while. But if you're a human being, if you're an American citizen, I want you to listen to this. Beware of that Trump guy. You can say, Ron, you're crazy. But just mark my words, and I hope I'm wrong, but I'm sure I'm not wrong. Donald Trump idolizes dictators. He idolizes authoritarianism. He hates democracy because he can't work his way through it to do what he wants to do. He wants to be king. He loves Kim, both Kardashian and Chung Pao Un. I don't know his full name. I do, but I don't, you know. Who's a murderer, a horrible, horrible person. Trump loves him and says he's a very smart man and a very powerful ruler. Yeah, because no one can go against you. That's why you're a powerful ruler. Says the same thing about Vladimir Putin. He won't say anything bad about the guy. Vladimir is a wonderful, strong leader. Yeah, because he's a dictator. He loves Moon, the China dictator. He loves him. Yeah, because he's a dictator and he's got all the power. Trump wants all the power. He wants to run a country. He thinks that the Chinese president, Chinese president is going to be president for the rest of his life. That's what they decided in China, like they had a choice. Trump thinks that's wonderful. He said that a number of times. That's anti-democracy, Don. I'm just telling you, this guy wants to be king. He wants to be dictator. Donald Trump, I'm talking about. He wants to disband our allies. Canada. He's having an argument with Canada. He wants to break up the union. He wants to bring Russia into it again, even though they murder journalists. Trump has said on so many occasions, the greatest enemy of this country is not all those dictators, not all those communistic countries that kill their own people. It's our journalists. It's the free press that is the greatest threat to our country. Donald Trump's a maniac, man. And he may sit down to do little summits so that he can get his picture in the paper and get his little Nobel Peace Prize, if that's the case. But man, if you've ever been sold snake oil, this is on sale. This man wants to destroy democracy. If you're smart enough, you'll go back and you'll listen to his comments even before he was president when he was running. Everything he says is indicative, without question, of a man that wants to rule the country and not represent us, but wants to rule. He finds that democracy gets in the way, Congress gets in the way, our laws get in the way, the Constitution gets in the way of him running things as an authoritarian. Okay, that's all I want to say about that. It's a sign.
A sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Blocking out the scene, re-breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the sign?
That's all I'm saying. Just be very, very careful. As you go through your little life, you know, and you drink your beer and you have your little job, and by the way, wages are not going up. That didn't work out too well. Inflation's going up. Prices are going up. Your wages? No. No. They don't go up. They don't go up to equal the increase in prices that you pay in health insurance, in anything, in the products you buy in a store, meat, milk, water, anything. Your salary does not coincide. You're falling behind still. I'm just saying, man, I'm sorry. I don't like to get real political. It's supposed to be a comedy show. But at some point, America's got to wake up and see what's going on. And then you'll understand. Then you'll understand. But you gotta know what's happening, though. You can't just walk around in a fog and hear little things. Okay. Anyway, we got a great guest coming up later in the show. We're going to talk about leaving kids in cars. Not on purpose, though. But as the summer is here, we tend to forget, you know, this Bush thing, like No Child Left Behind. I don't think it was meant to be about leaving your kid in a hot car with the doors locked. I don't think it meant, but it is. So we'll talk about that. It happens a lot. Would you believe that a mother actually either forgets that her kid is in the car in the back seat and just walks away and locks the car? I mean, what? Or I gotta run in and get something real quick. You stay here. Careful. And also for animals, don't let your animals just sit in a hot car either. Any more than you would want to. I'm getting so upset today. What's wrong with me, man? I need to chill. Let me ask you a question.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
Stop wearing your baseball cap backwards. Doesn't make any sense. See, baseball caps have a peak on them so that the sun doesn't get in your eyes, and it kind of shields your face against those horrible sun rays and and all that stuff that can give you skin cancer. Yeah, it does. So that's why you have the baseball cap. So, like, why do you reverse it to make it look like you're wearing an oversized yarmulke? What's that about? I mean, does the beak of the cap go in the back of your head so that your back of your neck doesn't get a sunburn, but your face is red? Why would you turn your hat around? Do you think that looks cool? When you do that, you look like you're wearing a beanie. You look like a five-year-old child. There is never a mark of intelligence on any face when you're wearing your baseball cap backwards. It's embarrassing. It's something you don't really realize. You think you look cool because for some reason it's cool to wear a baseball cap backwards? Whoever said that? Whoever said that that was cool? I rappers wear their baseball caps backwards. What is that, a signal? What is that? Does that mean something? What does that mean? Why would you do that? Why would you purposely try to look stupid?
I'm too intelligent. Give me a cap. I'll wear it backwards because I can understand if you're going to Walmart and you want to fit in. But other than that, there's no reason to wear a baseball cap backwards. Why?
So just stop doing it. I mean, you can keep doing it if you want. I really don't care.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
Do you realize that there was a time in our history, well before you were born, most of you, you millennials, you, I don't even understand what that means, you were born in 2000, after 2000, in a parking lot. I don't know what millennials mean. I really don't. Anyway, there was a time in our history back in the 1950s or 40s and stuff when everybody wore hats. Everybody wore hats. Women wore hats all the time to cover their head. Now, I didn't know if it was... I don't know why. I think they thought it was fashionable. Women's hats were like stupid looking. There was like netting and flowers in them and strange pins going, like their heads were lanced or something. Women's hats were like freaky stupid, but they were fashionable, you see. So women wore hats all over the place. I don't know. It was a sign of humility or something, because this was before women actually, you know, had any humility or didn't have humility. I have no idea. But men wore hats, and men looked cool. Men looked cool. Take a look at pictures, they'll all be in black and white, from the 1940s and a little bit of the 1950s. Men wore hats. They wore fedoras. They wore hats, and they had little brims, and they were like made of various materials and felt and things like that. And they looked so cool. You could take that hat and you could just like cock it to the side a little bit and look like, you know, nice or nasty. Or it was one. Hats were great. Hats were great. You can't wear a hat anymore other than a baseball cap because you'd be out of place. You just look weird. Like, well, what century did you come from? But it was cool at the time. And cowboys still do it. If you go to the South, to the Texas area, the greater Texas area, people wear hats. Men wear cowboy hats, and they're huge. They look like Mexican cartoon characters, but they look cool. Don't tell me that a cowboy doesn't look cool, because they do. Cowboys are cool looking. I'm not saying much about the personality or lifestyle. I'm talking about how they look. Yeah, they look cool. Yeah, they look rough and nice too. They can tip their hat to ladies. You can't tip a hat to a lady if you don't wear tip a baseball cap to a lady. It's very chivalrous. It's very, very nice. It's not demeaning. It's not old school. It's respect. It's respect. I wish hats had come back, but they didn't. Men don't wear hats unless they're cowboys. You can't go wearing a cowboy hat walking down the center of New York City on, you know, down Times Square. You can't do that. You look stupid. You look out of place. Everybody's going to stare at you like, where's your horse, idiot? No, you can't do it. But boy, that would be great.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
I used to watch a television show called Leave It to Beaver. Again, you millennials, you have no idea what I'm talking about. You think I'm talking another language or I came from another planet, which I think you came from another planet is what happened. I think your mother's vagina was a spaceship. Anyway, what a great title for a book. Maybe I'll write one. I used to watch Leave It to Beaver. It was a show that was late 50s into the early 60s. And it was an all-American family. Not really, but, you know, those were the days when we had role models, when there were things that we could look up to or try to emulate that had morals and had stability, foundation. We don't have that anymore. There are no television shows, no examples, not even our president, that shows foundation, respect, humility, and morals. It's gone. It's the death of them. It is so sad, it's not funny. Because the underbelly of America has no respect, has no morals, has no boundaries, has no ideals, has no foundation. It's gone. Sorry, man. I don't know what's so political. I can't. It's just sometimes things come to a head and I can't tolerate it anymore. Anyway, they used to dress up in a jacket and tie to go to a baseball game. Now, it wasn't not the local baseball game down the street, the Little League, no. But if they went to a major league ballpark, then they were out in public and therefore they wore jacket and tie, the guys did. And the women wore a dress. They actually wore dresses to ball games. How do we dress for ball games now? A sweaty tank top. A sweaty tank top that says FU on the front of the tank top. We are a disgusting society. We broke apart quickly. And you're saying, Ron, you know, our society was very stiff back then. It wasn't stiff. It had respect. It had boundaries. Our society now has none. And we dress accordingly. You're going out in public like that? Yeah, who cares? Yeah, who cares? Who cares? Who cares anymore? Ron, what's wrong with you, man? I'm sorry. Anyway, actually, I'm not sorry.
We asked Ron Van Dam what he feels is the best way for people to listen to the Ron Van Dam Show.
Butter it and put it on a plate.
Okay, you heard the man. Get to it. Butter it up. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Hey, thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. No touching, though. No touching. Hey. No touching. Stop it. I'm here every weekday with a brand new show. I've been doing this for, I say this a lot, I've been doing it for nearly 30 years. It makes me feel old, but at the same time, it seems to be a pattern. You would think I would have run out of things to talk about. But unfortunately, I haven't. So join me every weekday with a brand new show right here, wherever you're listening to this program on NewEnglandBroadcasting.com and enjoy. We're found on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the Amazon Alexa thing, the Podbean Network, SoundCloud, YouTube every single day. The new shows are posted to YouTube. It's just, you know, as I say, you know, if you lift the lid of your toilet, I'm probably got a show in there. I know I do, as a matter of fact. Our guest is going to talk about locking kids in cars in hot weather, I guess, which is a serious problem, actually. But first, this public service announcement.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Good morning.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm not bad so far. Amy Artuza joins us now. She's an MPH. Miles per hour? What is MPH?
It is a master's in public health.
Oh. She's a child passenger safety expert and senior program manager with National Safety Council. And we're talking about an interesting time of year. Well, every season of the year is important when you're taking care of your kids and making sure they're safe. But the summer and hot months pose a special problem, apparently.
Yes. Sadly, these deaths have occurred during every month of the year, but we do see a spike during the summer months.
Yes. And this results from leaving your child in the car, even though probably in your mind as a parent, you're just going to be a few minutes.
Well, right. There's three primary circumstances that are leading to the overall number of deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Often we'll hear about parents who unknowingly left or forgot their child in a vehicle.
Ah.
But those make up about half of the cases. The other half are from children gaining access to unlocked vehicles. And then, as you mentioned, parents and caregivers leaving children in a vehicle just thinking they're going to run and do something
right, quickly. Yeah. Parents forget that their child is in the car. They leave the car forgetting that the child's in the car with them?
They do. A little more than half of the cases have been parents, what we call it is unknowingly leaving, but it's when you hear that a parent has forgotten a child. And it has to do with how the brain works and multitasking, and often they're outside of their regular routine. So one of the things we advocate for is to always look before you lock. We want people to create the habit of making it a routine to always look in the back seat before walking away from your vehicle so that it becomes automatic.
Wow. Ouch. And, of course, the summer months, interesting because if one of these mistakes do occur, it doesn't take long for a child to pass out.
Correct. We know that there are consistent patterns in how temperature increases inside of a vehicle. So in the first 10 minutes, it doesn't matter if it's 65 degrees out or 95 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
In the first 10 minutes, on average, the temperature is going to increase by 19 degrees. And 80% of the overall increase that will happen in the first hour actually happens in the first 30 minutes.
Wow.
In addition, children's bodies heat up 3 to 5 times faster than an adult, so it makes them more vulnerable to the risk.
Wow. Unbelievable. So what do you do in order to make sure this doesn't happen?
Well, as I mentioned, we want people to always look before you lock, and then to understand it's important to never leave your child alone in a vehicle for any amount of time. And then they can also put reminders in place. We encourage people to put their cell phone in the back seat.
Yep.
You can even put your left shoe in the back seat. And it's not because these things are more important than the child. Again, it has to do with how the brain operates and multitasking, being tired. But just put those reminders in place. And technology helps as well. It's a layer of protection. It's not the standalone solution, but in-vehicle technologies, aftermarket products, some car seats have reminder systems in place. Those can all help remind a driver to check the back seat before walking away.
Wow. It's unbelievable to me that this can even happen. Wow.
Most parents will say they never thought it would happen to them, and that's part of the challenge. It's part of the problem. Until people accept that this can happen to anyone, anywhere, I don't know that these deaths are going to go away. Yeah.
Here's a really stupid question, but I'm known for stupid questions, so accept it accordingly. Let's say I'm in a store parking lot, and I'm walking by a car, and I hear a child crying or inside or something, and I don't see any parent in the front seat. Should I intercede? I guess, of course, I should, but, I mean, are there legal reasons why you wouldn't, or you just call the car? What do you do?
You're making an excellent point. It's not a stupid question at all, and that's something we address in, it's part of the point of the report itself. Mm-hmm. In some unattended child laws, the language is there to protect people who act in good faith to rescue a child. There's also separate standalone Good Samaritan laws, and in Massachusetts, you don't have either one of those in place.
Mm-hmm.
So always acting to save a child's life should be the priority, and we would want people to do that without fear of legal recourse.
I would assume that you don't actually open the car yourself. You call the police, or do you, or is it a matter of that quick a time situation?
You have to look at the case by case situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, call 911. If the child looks like they're unconscious,
yeah,
then I would recommend you break that window and get the child out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even wait till they're unconscious. If they're in distress.
You know, the problem is, kind of interestingly, is that most new cars, the back windows are tinted almost always, and you literally can't see in unless you hear something. You don't see it going on.
Right. One of the things we called for in the report is for increased efforts at workplaces,
mm-hmm,
because 25% of the children who have been left in vehicles unknowingly,
mm-hmm,
it happened at a place of work. So
yeah.
We do want employers to provide this education to their employees,
mm-hmm,
and ask fellow employees to be on the lookout, but also, you know, businesses asking people not to leave children in a vehicle for any length of time on their,
mm-hmm,
premises. And, you know, that's part of the point of the education and raising awareness,
mm-hmm,
is asking people to be on the lookout,
because, mm-hmm,
one child is too many.
I want just for a quick second, and this may have nothing to do with what you're talking about. I also thought that it should be illegal for a parent to smoke cigarette in the car with the windows rolled up. I can't understand why that is not ever looked at.
I actually think that has been a topic,
mm-hmm,
in some areas, but I don't have concrete information
on
that right now.
That to me is like incredibly abusive. I don't get that.
I do think it's a law in at least one state, but I can't remember right now where that is.
Well, thank goodness there's like the organizations like the National Safety Council who, you know, alert us to this and do remind parents that this can happen, even though you think that I would never do something like that. It can happen even to the most well-intentioned person.
It can happen any month of the year, in any state, to any person, and it has. I mean, there's no consistency in socioeconomic classes,
mm-hmm,
you know, anything like that. It can happen to anyone.
So where do we get more information about this?
People can visit nsc.org/heatstroke for more information and to download a free copy of the report.
Excellent. Great talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Amy. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, we're just about out of time for today. Did you know that? Were you keeping track on your stopwatch? Or have you just had enough? I'll be back tomorrow with our big program. It's going to be incredible. So please tune in for that. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, let me express my thanks to you, because you are a wonderful person. You are better than anybody else. You are. Ooh, huh? Smoke up the ass. Nice, Ron. Nice job. You have yourselves a wonderful day, will you please? Make it a good day. I wish you peace.